This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is 93 WXRT. My name is Marty Leonards. If you look at the calendar, you'll see it's November 3rd. One of the most important dates in the history of 93.1 WXRT, for it was on this date in 1973. When a young woman from Piqua, Ohio, got her foot in
humble beginnings,
got her foot in the back door at 4949 West Belmont to do her very first radio show on XRT. Now today, she is celebrating 50 years on XRT.
Jeez.
It's with great pleasure that I get to share the airwaves with my teacher, my mentor, my colleague, and my friend. And together
I love you.
And together with all of Chicago, we welcome Terry Hemmert back to the XRT Morning Show. Back to the morning show, Terry.
Back to the morning show. This is why I feel like crap then. Because I was never a morning person, and I was only supposed to do that for 4 weeks. Now, here's
tell
the story.
About it.
I want to tell everybody about it because I was asked to do it for 4 weeks because I was perfectly happy working middays. You know, it's just, I've had my dream job and all that. And they said, somebody quit with no notice and they wanted to look for somebody to replace. Do it for 4 weeks, okay? Okay. I said, but I need a producer because the other one left with the guy. So I called you at Columbia College, got you out of class, remember?
I was sitting in class, and someone came to the door and asked if I was in the class, and they handed me a note. I thought I was being called to the principal's office at Columbia College. And it was a note that said, Terry Hemmert, call me, and it had your phone number.
Well, you called me, and I said, Marty, I need a producer for 4 weeks.
4 weeks.
4 weeks. I can't pay you because they weren't paying me either. You should have seen those paychecks. Oh, my God. I cash them, and they say, are you kidding? I said, yeah, it's my salary. But $25 a show I started. But seriously. But any road, I said, I can't get you academic credit because it wasn't an internship. It was only 4 weeks. I said, but I'll give you a ride there and back.
You picked me up.
Yeah, I'd pick you up. And you're always 10 minutes late, but that's okay.
What?
And I took you out for breakfast a few times and got you some free records and free concert tickets. And that was January of 1981. And you're still here, Marty Leonards. Let's talk about you for a minute here.
No, this isn't about me.
No, but I'm so proud of you. I mean, my gosh. It's just, you've really done great work here. And now you're sitting in this. I remember I came in here one day, and it was the first time I saw you here doing mornings. And I came and I said, hey, get out of the chair. Give me some coffee. Go file those records, you know. And we've been on a long, strange trip.
Those were such incredible times. And coming to XRT and walking into the building for the very first time.
The bunker.
It was such a thrill, such a privilege. And it's all because of you. But Terry.
Yeah.
Today.
Oh, yeah, it's your show. Sorry.
We have so much planned.
I took over.
We have so much planned for your 50. Well, you should be. You can do whatever you want. You've been here for 50 years. We have so much planned today. I want to lay some of the stuff out that's going on all day long here on the radio on XRT. We're spinning some of your favorite songs as picked by you.
Yeah.
And we're reading incredible stories from XRT listeners about what your presence on the radio and in their lives means to them.
Oh, you're going to make me cry, aren't you?
You already made me cry when you talked about me.
Oh.
We're inviting folks to join some to enjoy some of your favorite places in Chicago, like Ann Sather's on Belmont. We've been there many times. They handed out 93 cinnamon rolls to the first 93 people who came in. I don't think it was 93 cinnamon rolls per person, but
no. But they give you two.
They give you two rolls. Yeah. So I would guess those are all gone by now. But thanks to Ann Sather's for that. Also, Lori's Planet of Sound in Lincoln Square is handing out 50th anniversary commemorative placards of your Essential 20 albums, some of them signed. These are collectibles.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like old feature artist cards.
Yeah, I know,
really cool.
It does. They're really
neat. Cool.
And also Peace Pizza in Wicker Park is presenting the All You Need Is Peace and Love Pizza, inspired by you.
How
about that? With a portion of the proceeds benefiting changing worlds.
That pizza is... I've been taught, though, you call them pies. You don't call them pizzas. You call them pies.
It's a pie.
I always think of cherry pie or pumpkin pie.
No.
But now I call them pies.
It's a terry pie.
It's a terry pie. Okay, what else are we giving away?
Well, we're going to get the ball rolling right here.
Oh, wait. I wanted to say, because they asked me for my five favorite places in Chicago.
Yeah.
And one of them was my parish, St. Clements. And they, I said, well, what are we getting from St. Clements? And they said, I said, you should call the pastor. He would give out free plenary indulgences.
Right.
You know, people have their sins forgiven.
Special dispensation.
Thanks to my anniversary. Yeah.
That would be nice.
They would have gone for that, I think. They really would have.
Well, Terry, right now, we're going to get the ball rolling on this day. We have a few very important words from one of the most trusted voices in Chicago.
A resolution presented to the City Council, City of Chicago, Illinois. Whereas, on November 3rd, 2023, Terry Hemmert, beloved Chicago radio icon, celebrates 50 years at WXRT 93.1 FM. And whereas the Chicago City Council has been informed of this milestone by the Honorable Matthew O'Shea, Alderman of the 19th Ward. And whereas Terry's love for music, and specifically the Beatles, started when watching the Ed Sullivan Show and seeing the launch of the British Invasion. From then on, she decided she would become a disc jockey so she could beat the Fab Four. And whereas, after graduating from Elmhurst College and a stint as a late-night DJ in Rochester, New York, Terry returned to the Midwest and began her career at WXRT on November 3, 1973, as public affairs director and overnight announcer. As her popularity grew, she became the first woman in Chicago radio history to command the morning drive shift in 1981. And whereas her extensive knowledge of all things Beatles is showcased on her Labor of Love, Breakfast with the Beatles, which has been on the air for over 20 years, and hosting the annual Chicago Fest for Beatles fans, formerly Beatlefest. And whereas Terry has been recognized numerous times for her work, including being showcased in a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame exhibit titled Rock and Radio, receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Chicago chapter of the Recording Academy, and being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2012 for her contributions to the radio medium. One of few women to be bestowed this honor. And whereas Terry also is active in social and political causes, such as serving on the board of directors for the Peace Museum, volunteering on behalf of the AIDS Pastoral Care Network, hosting Classic Encounter with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra for nearly two decades, co-hosting the Chicago Pride Parade, and in her spare time, teaching radio and music history classes at Columbia College. And whereas for 50 years, Terry Hemmert has been one of the greatest who has ever been behind a microphone, bringing music and joy to our city and our lives. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the mayor and members of the City Council of the City of Chicago do hereby designate November 3rd, 2023 as Terry Hemmert Day in honor of her 50 years at WXRT 93.1 FM and her contributions to the City of Chicago, our arts and culture, and the music and broadcasting industries as a whole.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Terry, if Bill Curtis says it, It is true.
He is the voice of God, isn't he?
It has now been officially proclaimed Terry Hemmer Day in the city of Chicago.
Ice cream for everybody. Okay.
Is that what we get?
Wow. Yeah. I'll have to hang this up if I can find some space on my wall.
And it is suitable for framing. House. It's suitable for framing.
Thank you.
You're going to have to move something.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
I don't know. What can you move?
I don't know. I'm starting to hang things from the ceiling.
How cool is that? You are such a part of Chicago.
Well, thanks.
And,
I love this
to
city.
Have it proclaimed by the mayor. Mm. And Chicago, you know, you came here to go to the Chicago area to go to college, right?
Mm-hmm. Elmhurst.
Yeah.
Yep, because I wanted to be in the big city, but when you come from Pickle, Ohio, a town of 20,000 people, you don't want to move right into downtown. You know, you got to put your foot in the water and kind of, and that was perfect because I get on the train and come down and go to Old Town back in the late 60s when Piper's Alley was really an alley.
Yeah.
That's where I bought my first blues album. It was a Chess Records compilation.
At a record store in Piper's Alley.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was cool. But I love this city, and I thought, well, yeah, Chicago, and then I could move to New York. I love Chicago.
And you just stayed.
I will never. Well, I went 2 years in Rochester, New York,
because
that was like AAA baseball. You know, you had to play in the minor leagues. And that's what makes me sad about radio these days, is it's all automated and stuff, and people don't have that opportunity to be on the air 36 hours a week and make mistakes and find their voice. You know, you need to practice. And that was really helpful.
What was that radio station in Rochester?
WCMF. It's still there.
Mm.
And the man that hired me was one of my best friends from college and also manager of the Buckets, our singing group.
Oh, yeah.
Legendary Buckets. And Tom Tuber, and he was a great mentor. And hired me. He even drove my U-Haul truck from here to Rochester and told me how to pronounce the names of things that they mispronounce out there. But anyway, it was 2 years out there, and he passed away a few months ago. In fact, I just went up to Wisconsin to give his eulogy, as it were. And yesterday I called him on his cell phone and left him a voicemail. His phone's still connected.
It's still connected.
And I just wanted to thank him for being the best friend and best mentor. And I'm sure he heard it.
Well, Tom had a history here in Chicago radio,
yes,
at WMET, and then also up in Madison.
That's where he ended up, and that's where I went the other day. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to that first day you came to XRT after Rochester. And what time did you go on the air?
Oh, I can't remember.
It must have, because the station
probably
was
about 1 o'clock.
Yeah, because you were doing overnights, right?
There were only two DJs then, because I think that we started at 10.
Right.
And then it'd go to 1, and then I'd do 1 to 6.
Would you work every night?
Yeah.
Every night?
Well, not weekends. Oh, I probably 6 days a week. Hmm. You know, I wasn't keeping track because I didn't think someday on my 50th anniversary, somebody's going to ask me.
No,
what
you
was
were just
like?
Going to do an all-night radio show on the northwest side of Chicago.
I was A, glad to find a job, and B, scared to death.
Right.
I was very. I never went into this with any confidence. Really, everything I've done totally messed up my stomach, you know. It doesn't come easy, but now it's like, okay, here I am with Marty. We're
so
talking
do you recall
people.
Here's the question I have.
Okay.
I'm not sure whether you remember the first song you played.
No.
But how long did it take you in your first show to play the Beatles?
One long. Yeah. No, because that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, and that's the beauty of the Beatles, is they weren't just a popular rock band, but that invasion in 1964, I was not the only one that changed my life path because of them. There are so many people that bought guitars, drums, they joined bands. Of course, you know, being a fella and all, that they did that because they tracked girls. that's why the Beatles did it. Whatever works for you. And I just thought, wow, they're great. And I didn't even think about being a disc jockey because there were no women. I mean, I grew up, Dayton, Ohio was my radio market, you know. And it wasn't until the next year, true story, I was in the study hall with my geography book open so they'd think I was studying. And tucked in there was Tiger Beat, or one of those teen magazines. And I saw a picture of some guy with a microphone in Ringo's face that says, disc jockey Jim Stagg interviews Ringo Starr on their 1965 tour of America. And the light went off. I can remember the sensation where I thought, wow, if I got to be a disc jockey, I could meet the Beatles. And So I gave up being a nun and went right to radio. And you think I'm kidding. My mom took me out of Catholic school because I sent away, I filled out this form I didn't tell her about to enroll in a convent school for eighth grade. And she said, you're being brainwashed. You're going to public school. And thank goodness. But anyway, no, they showed me a film of nuns playing basketball. And they said, well, now, Mary Teresa, you know that the women live in Piqua. They never get to play basketball. But if you were a nun, we even have a league. We'll take in a bus to play with other nuns. And they were good. I almost got an academic scholarship to the convent, but
Would they play wearing their habits?
Yes, full habits.
Wow.
I mean, you know, all the rosary beads and everything, and they could do layup shots and hook shots, and oh my gosh! But the thing is I thought, well, I'll go on the radio, and then years later, when I was out here at Elmhurst, because they had a great radio station, and still do. That and Tom Tuber, that's where I met him. And I met Jim Stagg because he spoke at a college radio conference. And I asked him, I said, do you think I stand a chance being a woman or should I just... He said, we'll be the first.
Wow.
He encouraged me, and he did several times. And he was, and I got him on the air for Rampant Beatlemania once, and he was a lovely man. But I owe him everything.
Well, then you became the first woman doing morning radio in Chicago. Doing a morning radio show, cool! And you brought me into the fold as your producer. And what we would do, I recall many times after the show, after we were finished, we go out to Wrigley Field.
Yes,
you and I. That first summer,
gosh.
For sure,
with Tuber,
Johnny
Mars,
yeah,
Wendy Rice,
yeah.
Oh my gosh!
And we sit out in the bleachers because well, it was like 1981, and the Cubs were bad, and there was no one there.
Well, was it like $2.50 to get in?
Something like that.
Smoky Links.
We'd sit in the bleachers with a handful of fans and those gamblers, and as Lee Elia would call them, eventually nickel and dime unemployed people. But these days, I know you spend many summertime evenings on your back porch listening to a Hall of Fame voice presenting Cubs baseball on the radio on 670 The Score.
Oh, no, you're kidding. I love this man.
Well, he has a few words to say to you.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, Terry, it's Cubs radio man Pat Hughes congratulating you on a remarkable 50 years on the air at XRT. What an amazing feat of consistency. It's really a rarity that a radio station even lasts 51 years, let alone for someone to be working at the same one for half a century. Your longevity is a testament to your one-of-a-kind, trailblazing personality. And in recognition of that feat, the Chicago Cubs are honored to bestow upon you your very own official Cubs number 93.1 jersey. From one Hall of Famer to another, congratulations on 50 years, Terry Hemmert.
Look at that.
Oh my God, I love Pat Hughes. My father taught me, don't watch baseball on TV, listen to it on the radio, because they paint a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up near Cincinnati, and Wade Hoyt was the announcer.
Reds announcer, yeah.
Yeah, and remember Athlete's Feats?
Mm-hmm. With Bob Verdi?
Bob Verdi, lovely guy. He had no idea who I was. He just knew he had to talk to this girl on the radio. And so they schlepped him out to Belmont and Cicero for the first week so we could get to know each other. And we actually really hit it off, and he was great. He's a terrific writer and great guy to work with. But one day we were, and this was early on in our relationship on the radio, and he was talking about Lamar Hoyt, who was pitching, I think, for the White Sox at the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wasn't showing off. I just said, is he in relation to Wade? And he said, who? Wade Hoyt. He said, what do you know about Wade Hoyt? I said, oh, he was the announcer for the Cincinnati Reds, and he was famous for his rain delay stories and he was an all-star pitcher for the New York Yankees before that. And I said, and I have an album of his rain delay stories and a picture of him on the cover in Crosley Field with a case of Burger Beer, the sponsor, under his arm and an umbrella on the other one. And after that, Bob and I were like, soulmates. It was great.
That's
broke
cool.
The ice, yeah.
Well, Pat Hughes is such a gentleman. He's such a great guy.
He's wonderful.
Yeah.
Love him.
So cool of him to present that for you.
Oh,
and if you look at the number 93.1, you could say that you will be the only person ever to sport that number on a jersey.
With a .1?
With a .1.
Because I know...
Yeah, no one else will ever wear that. Well, no Cubs player will ever wear 93.1.
Well, and Lynn Bramer had a 93.
Not a .1.
Not a, but, yeah. But I bet he's wearing his in heaven today. Just
well,
thinking.
Well, that's for sure.
Yep.
Well, Terry, coming up, we're going to play some songs. We're actually going to play some songs.
No, you're
yes,
kidding.
Yes, we are.
Oh, and I'm just going to talk for 8 hours?
No, we're going to play some songs. And we're going to read some of the listener's stories. And next, we'll hear from the presence that is always in this studio, who we miss so dearly.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Who always had the right words for any occasion.
Where's the Kleenex?
Who was recently named the 2023 winner of the Marconi Award for Major Market Radio Personality of the Year. Just ahead, Terry, it's our best friend in the whole world.
Oh, no.
With one of his great Lynn's Bin pieces.
Oh.
About one of his best friends in the whole world.
I love you, big baby.
That's coming up on 93XRT. 50 years of Terry Hemmert on 93XRT. Well, on this momentous a day such as this, we had to include the man who could answer some of life's great questions with a laugh and a tear in about 3 minutes' time. On 93XRT, for Terry, this is Lynn's Bin.
Some years ago, a little girl asked me, what does it take to be a Terry Hemmert on the radio? What does it take to be a Terry Hemmert on the radio? Let me take you to the home of the great outdoor underwear festival in Piqua, Ohio, the birthplace of doo-wop pioneers, the Mills Brothers, home to Betty and Fritz. It starts with a tomato red Clarabelle the Clown record player and 78 RPM records like Sparky and the Talking Train, maybe even the Howdy Doody theme song on bright yellow vinyl. Sitting next to that little record player, she learns about instruments from Tubby the Tuba, performed by the Peter Pan Orchestra. What does it take to be a Terry Hemmert? It takes an imaginary birthday party for singer Dusty Springfield and a phone call to a Dayton radio station. It takes February 9th, 1964. What does it take to be a Terry Hemmert? It takes a love of rhythm and blues so deep that it translates into a college course that she has taught for over 30 years. It takes a genuine reverence for the city of New Orleans and what that city means to the legacy of American music. It takes a birthday pilgrimage to the Big Easy every spring for the Jazz and Heritage Festival. It takes afternoons in the gospel tent, evenings hanging out with Irma Thomas, and a whole lot of crawfish Monica. What does it take to be a Terry Hemmert? It takes interviewing talking heads for the radio when nobody else would. It takes an impossible scheme. If I become a DJ, I can meet the Beatles. A relentless faith in possibilities. A belief that something that has never been done is not a prohibition, but an invitation. If you believe it all begins and ends with the Beatles, you miss the best part of the story. The Beatles are just a point on our compass. A compass that points in all directions. You don't get to work at the same radio station in the same big city since 1973 without knowing what it takes. It takes the knowledge that no matter how many years you've spent on the air, this is a job that can always make you feel like a kid again. And suddenly, it's just you and a tomato red record player and dreams on a spindle.
I think we need to take a nap now and then come back and finish this later, because we're all just you and Chris Wake here, our wonderful guy. The three of us, we lost it.
Yeah.
Love that man.
Yeah.
Boy, but he's listening, though. He's probably wearing his Cubs Bramer shirt up there in heaven, because if there is a heaven, he's got his Cubs shirt.
If you just heard a portion of Lynn's Bin, or you missed it entirely, you're just joining us, it will air again tonight at 6 o'clock, Lynn's Bin, about Terry Hemmert. Quite moving. Terry.
Now what do we do after that?
Oh, man. I'll tell you.
Now, Johnny Mars came in and brought me a present. It's this is an original, a Beatles penknife. And, you know, it's a little rusty, but so am I since 1964. But that's
pretty cool.
Sweet.
What a weird promotional item that is.
I know. Well, they had everything. They had talcum powder and ice cream bars and everything. You couldn't save those ice cream bars, yeah.
Well, you know, in my life, the song by the Beatles, it's just amazing that John Lennon, at such a young age, had such insight into what life is,
mm-hmm.
that he could write that song.
Life just, and death.
And death, yeah.
He lost a lot of people early in his life.
Yeah. Well, that song has touched many people's lives, and so have you, Terry. Mm. Thanks. Over the 50 years here on XRT. And we asked XRT listeners, what does Terry Hemmert mean to you? And we had an incredible number of letters, and these are all really wonderful. We'll be reading them throughout the day today with the songs that you chose. And I'm going to read one right now from an XRT listener, Steve Scantlin, who says, how do you thank and honor someone who has not only been a part of the XRT family, but of everyone else's family of XRT listeners? Without Terry, me and my family would have less of an appreciation for good music, regardless of its genre, less love for the city of Chicago, and maybe even less love and appreciation of the Beatles. I couldn't even list all the bands that she turned us on to over the years. Aunt Terry is the cool aunt that we all wish we had when we were growing up. Love you, Terry. Keep on rocking. You've touched a lot of families. Mm. That's pretty great. Mm. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Can I just remind people that it's a two-way street?
Mm.
And I think you'll vouch for this because you have your own experiences with listeners. Mm-hmm. There's something mystical, something intimate about radio. And like you can do a good show with a bad hair day. You know, you don't have to worry about makeup. You just get on there and you just expose your heart to the whole world. And with some people, they think, oh, shut up, you know. And other people think, oh, my God, that just made my day, or that just got me through a rough time, or, you know. And it's amazing to hear back all these years. It never gets old. And you and I and everybody else here take it seriously. When people reach out and say, you got me through the worst time of my life, and the music you played and what you said. We got people through 9/11 as it was happening. I had to come into work the morning after John Lennon was shot and find the words that would comfort people. But when you guys get back to us, you are our stars. You're our rock stars. And your support over the years has meant everything. Yeah. And I think I speak for you and everybody else that works here, that we have one, because we've been here so long and we've grown up together and we've gone through things together.
Well, we've been with families through generations, from grandparents to kids, to little kids now.
Yes.
And it's such an honor to know how many families consider you, Terry, as one of their own. And I know you have a seat at the table of Chicago's first family of gospel and soul, the Staples family. Tell us a little bit about your friendship with Mavis Staples.
Oh my gosh. That's one of the thrills of my life, because, you know, she's been one of my heroes since I was in college. And I'm a big gospel music fan, love gospel. And I knew her as a gospel singer. And then she's told me this story and told other people about how they went to meet Dr. King at his church, Ebenezer Baptist, and because Pop said that they wanted to meet. And she said she saw Pops and Dr. King together. And he said, would you guys walk away from the gospel world and make popular songs so that teenagers will hear freedom songs and civil rights songs and maybe it'll have an impact? And yeah, you know that word woke that is often misinterpreted?
It's a good word.
It's like waking up and seeing things you didn't see before. And the Staples Singers did that for us. Respect yourself. I'll take your, you know, there. And when I first met her out at Fitzgerald's, she was leaving. They did a tribute to the Staples Singers, and she was leaving. And I didn't want to bug her, but I thought, that's Mavis Staples. And she and her couple guys taking care of her were walking in front of me. I said, Mavis, because usually I don't like.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, that's for sure.
Yep.
Well, Terry, coming up, we're going to play some songs. We're actually going to play some songs.
No, you're
yes,
kidding.
Yes, we are.
Oh, and I'm just going to talk for 8 hours?
No, we're going to play some songs. And we're going to read some of the listener's stories. And next, we'll hear from the presence that is always in this studio, who we miss so dearly. Oh, and who always had the right words for any occasion.
Where's the Kleenex?
Who was recently named the 2023 winner of the Marconi Award for Major Market Radio Personality of the Year. Just ahead, Terry, it's our best friend in the whole world.
Oh, no.
With one of his great Lynn's Bin pieces.
Oh.
About one of his best friends in the whole world.
I love you, big baby.
That's coming up on 93XRT. 50 years of Terry Hemmert on 93XRT. Well, on this momentous a day such as this, we had to include the man who could answer some of life's great questions with a laugh and a tear in about 3 minutes' time. On 93XRT, for Terry, this is Lynn's Bin.
Some years ago, a little girl asked me, what does it take to be a Terry Hemmert on the radio? What does it take to be a Terry Hemmert on the radio? Let me take you to the home of the great outdoor underwear festival in Piqua, Ohio, the birthplace of doo-wop pioneers, the Mills Brothers, home to Betty and Fritz. It starts with a tomato red Clarabelle the Clown record player and 78 RPM records like Sparky and the Talking Train, maybe even the Howdy Doody theme song on bright yellow vinyl. Sitting next to that little record player, she learns about instruments from Tubby the Tuba, performed by the Peter Pan Orchestra. What does it take to be a Terry Hemmert? It takes an imaginary birthday party for singer Dusty Springfield and a phone call to a Dayton radio station. It takes February 9th, 1964. What does it take to be a Terry Hemmert? It takes a love of rhythm and blues so deep that it translates into a college course that she has taught for over 30 years. It takes a genuine reverence for the city of New Orleans and what that city means to the legacy of American music. It takes a birthday pilgrimage to the Big Easy every spring for the Jazz and Heritage Festival. It takes afternoons in the gospel tent, evenings hanging out with Irma Thomas, and a whole lot of crawfish Monica. What does it take to be a Terry Hemmert? It takes interviewing talking heads for the radio when nobody else would. It takes an impossible scheme. If I become a DJ, I can meet the Beatles. A relentless faith in possibilities. A belief that something that has never been done is not a prohibition, but an invitation. If you believe it all begins and ends with the Beatles, you miss the best part of the story. The Beatles are just a point on our compass. A compass that points in all directions. You don't get to work at the same radio station in the same big city since 1973 without knowing what it takes. It takes the knowledge that no matter how many years you've spent on the air, this is a job that can always make you feel like a kid again. And suddenly, it's just you and a tomato red record player and dreams on a spindle.
I think we need to take a nap now and then come back and finish this later, because we're all just you and Chris Swake here, our wonderful guy. The three of us, we lost it. Yeah. Love that man.
Yeah.
Boy, but he's listening, though. He's probably wearing his Cubs Bramer shirt up there in heaven, because if there is a heaven, he's got his Cubs shirt.
If you just heard a portion of Lynn's Bin, or you missed it entirely, you're just joining us, it will air again tonight at 6 o'clock, Lynn's Bin, about Terry Hemmert. Quite moving. Terry,
now what do we do after that?
Oh, man. I'll tell you.
Now, Johnny Mars came in and brought me a present. This is an original, a Beatles penknife. And, you know, it's a little rusty, but so am I since 1964. But that's pretty sweet.
What a weird promotional item that is.
I know. Well, they had everything. They had talcum powder and ice cream bars and you couldn't save those ice cream bars. Yeah.
Well, you know, in my life, the song by the Beatles, it's just amazing that John Lennon at such a young age had such insight into what life is, mm-hmm. that he could write that song.
Life just, and death. Because he lost a lot of people early in his life.
Yeah. Well, that song has touched many people's lives, and some of you, Terry, over the 50 years here on XRT. And we asked XRT listeners, what does Terry Hemmert mean to you? And we had an incredible number of letters, and these are all really wonderful. We'll be reading them throughout the day today with the songs that you chose. And I'm going to read one right now from an XRT listener, Steve Scantlin, who says, how do you thank and honor someone who has not only been a part of the XRT family, but of everyone else's family of XRT listeners? Without Terry, me and my family would have less of an appreciation for good music, regardless of its genre, less love for the city of Chicago, and maybe even less love and appreciation of the Beatles. I couldn't even list all the bands that she turned us on to over the years. Aunt Terry is the cool aunt that we all wish we had when we were growing up. Love you, Terry. Keep on rocking. You've touched a lot of families. Mm. That's pretty great. Mm. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Can I just remind people that it's a two-way street?
Mm.
That, and I think you'll vouch for this because you have your own experiences with listeners. Mm-hmm. There's something mystical, something intimate about radio. And like you can do a good show with a bad hair day. You know, you don't have to worry about makeup. You just get on there and you just expose your heart to the whole world. And with some people, they think, oh, shut up, you know. And other people think, oh, my God, that just made my day, or that just got me through a rough time, or, you know. And it's amazing to hear back all these years. It never gets old. And you and I and everybody else here take it seriously. When people reach out and say, you got me through the worst time of my life, and the music you played and what you said. We got people through 9/11 as it was happening. I had to come into work the morning after John Lennon was shot and find the words that would comfort people. But when you guys get back to us, you are our stars. You're our rock stars. And your support over the years has meant everything. Yeah. And I think I speak for you and everybody else that works here, that we have one, because we've been here so long and we've grown up together and we've gone through things together.
Well, we've been with families through generations, from grandparents to kids, to little kids now.
Yes.
And it's such an honor to know how many families consider you, Terry, as one of their own. And I know you have a seat at the table of Chicago's first family of gospel and soul, the Staples family. Tell us a little bit about your friendship with Mavis Staples.
Oh my gosh. That's one of the thrills of my life, because, you know, she's been one of my heroes since I was in college. And I'm a big gospel music fan, love gospel. And I knew her as a gospel singer. And then she's told me this story and told other people about how they went to meet Dr. King at his church, Ebenezer Baptist, because Pop said that they wanted to meet. And she said she saw Pops and Dr. King together, and he said, would you guys walk away from the gospel world and make popular songs so that teenagers will hear freedom songs and civil rights songs, and maybe it'll have an impact? And yeah, you know that word woke that is often misinterpreted?
It's a good word.
It's like waking up and seeing things you didn't see before. And the Staples Singers did that for us. Respect yourself. I'll take your, you know, there. And when I first met her out at Fitzgerald's, she was leaving. They did a tribute to the Staples Singers, and she was leaving. And I didn't want to bug her, but I thought, that's Mavis Staples. And she and her couple guys taking care of her were walking in front of me. I said, Mavis, because usually I like to bug musicians, but I thought, I just got to meet her, you know. And I said, Mavis. And she kept walking. She was trying to get out of there. And I said, it's Terry Hemmert from XRT. And she threw her arms up and turned around and said, come here, give me a hug, you know, because somebody told me that she was a big XRT fan, that she had an XRT magnet on her refrigerator. So that's the only reason I yelled out my name. Ordinarily I wouldn't do that. And she came and hugged me, and we became fast friends. And one of the highlights of my life was when Coco Taylor and her daughter Cookie and Mavis and Yvonne, her sister, were fighting over me. And Coco said, Terry's in our family. And Mavis said, no, she's not. She's in our family. And I go, ladies, okay, I'll be in both families, okay? And I'm thinking, this is a long way from Piqua, man. I can't believe it. Two of my heroes. And Mavis has been kind enough to reach out and ask me to give a eulogy at Fonnie's funeral, because I named my dog after Yvonne, and because I got Mavis an honorary doctorate at Columbia College, worked 4 years to make that happen, and got to give the speech to introduce her. And then the R&B group at the college was singing a medley of Staples Singer songs, and she couldn't help herself. She got up, because we were sitting up there, you know, behind, and she got up there and went back up to the podium and to the mic and sang along with them. Can you imagine those students?
Wow.
They'll go to their grave saying, we sang with Mavis Staples. But I felt bad for Yvonne, because she was always in the shadows where she wanted to be, really. But I said, hey, I just got got a new dog. Is it all right if I name it after you? And she said, oh, you're asking permission? That's an honor. I said, well, I didn't know. I named my cat Irma after Irma Thomas, and I told her, and she didn't seem that thrilled. And Mava said, she's got to get over herself. That's an honor. So when I went to Cleo's wake, who I didn't know Cleo because she had been sick for a long time, but I went for Mavis and Yvonne, and Vonnie comes up right away and says, give me a picture of my dog. So I got my phone out, got a picture. She grabbed my phone, and I could hear her going around the room saying, this is my dog. And I said, yeah, but you don't have to walk that dog on a cold night in January. Give me that my phone back, you know. But and then I went to Purvis's wake, not meaning to, you know, participate. And this woman comes up to me 10 minutes before, and she'd been at Vonnie. She goes, you were good. Can you get up and say something about Purvis? And I hardly knew Purvis. And I went, really? And I was scared to death because I didn't prepare.
Right.
And I followed three people that told stories that knew him since he was a kid. And I thought, I am just not, you know. And Tom Marker's out there, and, you know, Jeff Tweedy's there, and all the family and friends. So I got up, and I'm at the podium right in front of the coffin. And I looked out at the coffin, and I said, Purvis, I said, I feel like I'm not qualified to do this, but I said, Purvis and I had a running joke that we only saw each other at wakes and funerals. So this is only the third time I've met Purvis. And I said, dude, we can't go on meeting like this. And everybody went nuts.
Well, Terry, that's why Mavis calls you the Reverend.
Yeah, Reverend. She does. Reverend, she does.
Well, tonight, in honor of your day, your celebration, you're at 50 years on Live from the XRT Concert Archives. It's Mavis Staples from the Old Town School in 2004. Yeah.
Thank you. She's the best. She's like the nicest person next to you that I know.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So you want to hear some Staples singers right now?
Oh, I would love to. Thank you.
Let's take everybody there. All it's right. 93XRT. Amen. You're on 93XRT, the Staples singers. It's me, Marty Leonard, along with Terry Hemmert, celebrating 50 years of Terry Hemmert on 93XRT. And Terry, one of the things you taught me was to always be yourself on the radio. It's not an easy thing to do, but to you it comes naturally because you're a warm-hearted and encouraging presence because that's who you are. We've got another letter to read from an XRT listener, Susan Crawford, who says, my daughter on stage at Beatlefest 2013 with Terry. She was 15 and in a very bad place. She had lost a friend to suicide, and I lived every day afraid of losing her, too. Her therapist suggests that she start journaling or doing art or something to help with the coping skills. A few months later, she was bringing down this incredible art from her room, so I encouraged her to enter this in the Beatle Art Show. It was her first painting ever. And we had never been to Beatles Fest, and since it was voted on by attendees, I didn't think she'd win anything, but she was so nervous. She was shaking when she was called on stage. But Terry, you were so sweet to her. You made her feel comfortable. You made her feel good. Fast forward 10 years, and my baby is a graduate of the School of the Art Institute of Chicago and a marketing director. This one moment made a huge impact on her life. Susan Crawford, Beatles Fest, a life-changing event at Beatles Fest.
Two-way street.
Yeah. Well, you could say no matter your age, when you did meet the Beatles, they just always have a life-changing experience. Yesterday we got the new song, the last Beatles song.
Yep.
Tell us your thoughts on that, Now and Then.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
It's just beautiful. And you know, they couldn't put it out with the anthology because the quality, it was just a cassette, you know.
Right.
He with his piano and there's no balance, you know, and you couldn't separate the voice from the, and with this new technology, they were able to do it. And plus George laid down a guitar solo while they were trying to do it for the anthology before they gave up on it. So he's on it too, but it's the last time all four of them will be on it. But you know, I was always told don't meet your heroes because it'll be disappointing. I beg to differ. And that time I met Ringo, and it was just the two of us, and we had this amazing talk. And I said, you gave me my dream. And I followed it, and look, wow, you know. And he told me his dream was to move to Houston, Texas, and be a country and western singer, but he found the Beatles. And but he got it. He didn't say, oh, great. We buy all of our records, you know. And that's what really hit me, his kindness and his being present in the moment. And I learned that from them and my parents, well, to be present.
The new song, Now and Then, has really touched so many people.
Yes.
People who were around when the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan, to those who never had the opportunity to hear a new Beatles song on the radio. Mm-hmm. And we debuted it yesterday, right around this time. And let's give it a spin now.
It'll be on Breakfast with the Beatles Sunday morning, too. 8 to 10 on 93 XRT.
It's all because of you. You, Terry!
Oh.
Actually, those guys, the Beatles, right?
Yeah. Love them. And can I just say one name here? Because, you know, we were talking about Lynn Bramer. Mm-hmm. Your best friend in the whole world, my best friend, everybody's best friend in the world. And that was not just jiving. That was true. He was amazing. John Fernita, who we lost from cancer as well.
We did.
Damn cancer. And he was a student. You remember when he came and was helping you out here in the morning.
He followed me as your producer.
Yeah. And 83, he came here and worked his way up to be music director. And he was my little brother.
Well, we have been a family together for a really, really long time. And Terry, I can't be happier to be part of your 50th celebration.
It's a celebration.
Thank you for coming in this morning.
Well,
thanks for doing this.
Thank you, and I'm so proud of you.
Oh, well.
I really am.
That's nice, Terry.
I really am, sincerely. And I'm speaking on behalf of your parents, and we said earlier before we went on the air that all four of them are up in heaven listening today, and they're proud of you, too. So.
And they are, and Lynn is bringing them food.
Yeah.
Well, Terry, there's a lot going on today.
Yeah.
Throughout the rest of the day, we will be playing more of your favorite songs. More letters will be read every hour at the top of the hour. And tomorrow, you're hosting Saturday Morning Flashback.
Yes.
1973.
That was the year.
All new releases from that year, 1973. Mm-hmm. You'll be spinning those.
Releases. Yeah.
And we have a very special event happening at 10 a.m., not on the radio, but everyone will be able to watch it on a live stream at 93xrt.com. That's at 10 o'clock. I will see you there then. I'm Marty Leonard for 93xrt. Well, you could say no matter your age, when you did meet the Beatles, they just always have a life-changing experience.
Hmm.
Yesterday we got the new song, the last Beatles song.
Yep.
Tell us your thoughts on that, Now and Then.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
It's just beautiful. And you know, they couldn't put it out with the anthology because the quality, it was just a cassette, you know.
Right.
He with his piano and there's no balance, you know. And you couldn't separate the voice from the... And with this new technology, they were able to do it. And plus, George laid down a guitar solo while they were trying to do it for the anthology before they gave up on it. So he's on it too. But it's the last time all four of them will be on it. But you know, I was always told, don't meet your heroes because it'll be disappointing. I beg to differ. And that time I met Ringo, and it was just the two of us, and we had this amazing talk. And I said, you gave me my dream. And I followed it, and look, wow, you know. And he told me his dream was to move to Houston, Texas, and be a country and western singer. But he found the Beatles, and but he got it. He didn't say, "Oh, great, we buy all of our records," you know. And that's what really hit me: his kindness and his being present in the moment. And I learned that from them and my parents be present.
The new song, Now and Then, has really touched so many people.
Yes.
People who were around when the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan, to those who never had the opportunity to hear a new Beatles song on the radio. Mm-hmm. And we debuted it yesterday, right around this time. And let's give it a spin now.
It'll be on Breakfast with the Beatles Sunday morning, too. 8 to 10 on 93 XRT.
It's all because of you. You, Terry!
Oh.
Actually, those guys, the Beatles, right?
Yeah. Love them. And can I just say one name here? Because, you know, we were talking about Lynn Bramer.
Mm-hmm.
Your best friend in the whole world, my best friend, everybody's best friend in the world. And that was not just jiving. That was true. He was amazing. John Fernita, who we lost from cancer as well.
We did.
Damn cancer. And he was a student. You remember when he came and was helping you out here in the morning.
He followed me as your producer.
Yeah. And 83, yeah. He came here, yeah. And worked his way up to be music director. And he was my little brother.
Well, we have been a family together, yeah, for a really, really long time. And Terry, yeah, I can't be happier to be part of your 50th celebration.
It's a celebration.
Thank you for coming in this morning. Well, thanks for doing
thank
this.
Thank you. And I'm so proud of you.
Oh, well.
I really am.
That's nice, Terry.
I really am, sincerely. And I'm speaking on behalf of your parents. And we said earlier before we went on the air that all four of them are up in heaven listening today, and they're proud of you too. So,
and they are, and Lynn is bringing them food.
Yeah.
Well, Terry, there's a lot going on today. Yeah. Throughout the rest of the day, we will be playing more of your favorite songs. More letters will be read every hour at the top of the hour. And tomorrow, you're hosting Saturday Morning Flashback.
Yes.
1973.
That was the year.
All new releases from that year, 1973. Mm-hmm. You'll be spinning those.
Releases, yeah.
And we have a very special event happening at 10 a.m., not on the radio, but everyone will be able to watch it on a live stream at 93XRT.com. That's at 10 o'clock. I will see you there then. I'm Marty Leonard for 93XRT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.